You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. How are we doing? Okay, what? How are we doing? I know. You guys are thinking, what's going on here? You got a thing here. You got a dude here. What's happening?
What's up?
We just saw a video. First of all, on that video, man, it's amazing to see so many people give so much of their time and effort over these 12 years. And so I just want to say, man, you guys are amazing. So those of you who give, who serve, man, this is such an amazing thing that you are doing, building what God is doing here at Mosaic. So if you're a guest here, I just want you to know, you're sitting with some amazing people, and I would love to just give it up for them. Can we do that? Can we just give up for all the people who volunteer, who give? On that note, we've got Caleb Cavazos.
What's going on?
Did I say it right?
Cavazos. Close enough.
Cavazos.
Close enough.
Cavazos. Okay. What is that? Is that Italian?
It's Mexican.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
it's all
what
good.
I love the food. What you are, right?
I am Mexican.
Okay.
This side.
That side?
This side is Mexican. Okay. But Caleb actually leads the live stream community here at Mosaic. So if you're a live streamer,
What's going on? This is your guy.
Yeah, and if you've ever been on live stream, how many of you have ever live streamed when you're on vacation? When you're too lazy to get up here and come show? Yeah, right? Own it. Metro. Yes, if you love the fact that we are broadcasting to you, this is the guy. So, hey, let's do this. We want to give a shout-out to everybody who's out there. Why don't you do that? Can we do that?
I can do that. So, first of all, let's give it up for our Metro people that are watching right now. We love you guys. Woo! Enjoy your service today. So, the other people that I love to give a shout-out to is the people that I get to, I guess, pseudo-see every week.
Mexico.
We got Mexico. We've got Europe. A little bit of the Mexican. Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of people across the world that get to watch us every week through our live stream. So if you guys are watching us like right now, can you guys give it up to our live stream community? We love you guys. Thank you for watching us. Hey, get ready, guys. We got an awesome, awesome message from this guy.
You do?
The half Mexican.
Yes.
Right? All right.
Yes.
Give it up, guys.
All right, guys. Can you give him a hand? A lot of clapping. Yes, a lot of clapping. That's what we do. Yeah, it's going to be an amazing message. It's going to be amazing. It's going to blow your mind. Yeah, it is. Well, that's why this is here. If you're wondering what's going on here, we're going to be talking a little bit about this. But let me just set it up. If you are a guest, this is week four of a conversation that we've been in, talking about how to build home, not just a house, but home. And so if you remember, we kind of looked into a peculiar passage in Jeremiah. This is in the Old Testament. And there's a prophet who writes to a people who found themselves in a place that they don't want to be. How many of you found yourself in a place you just don't want to be, right? Maybe it's right now. Maybe it's the fact that school's starting. Oh, you know, I don't know. College started. I mean, what's going on? But he speaks to them and he begins to tell them a particular kind of message which God is speaking to them. And so every week we've been talking about it. So the first week was this idea of, like, regardless of where you are, regardless of what's going on with your life and what's happened to you, you need to build where you are. And so we talked about how we need to do that. So we need to engage really our present and create the future. And we need to just reconcile the past and move forward. And so that's what was first week. Second week was this idea of, like, let's create a sacred circle around us. So if you're going to build home, a place that regardless of the season you're in, if you're going to build once again, you need to surround yourself with key people in your life. So we talked about creating a sacred circle. Last week, we talked about that we need to really evaluate our values, our view in life, and the kind of life you're going to live, and the kind of environment and the culture you're going to create. And so if you remember, if you don't remember, you can go online, watch the message, but it was a counter. I put a counter here, and it basically talked about if you're behind the counter, your life basically says, I'm here to serve, but if you're on the other side of the counter, it says, serve me. And so we live our lives like that sometimes, unintentionally, pursuing everything that we have. We just want people to serve me, or serve you, or serve you know, us. And so then we move from creating that environment in our homes, in our families, and that becomes our worldview. And you begin to live your life very self-centered. And so what we have to do is intentionally live the life behind the counter. So we say, you know what? I'm here to serve others. Because if everybody decides to serve, if your family, you know this, if everybody in your family decides they're going to serve each other, like they're going to outserve each other, how many needs are going to be met? Everybody, yes. You don't have to tell them to do the dishes. Right? Your roommate. You got to stop. You can stop praying for your roommate that you do every week. You put him on the cross. Bob, please get rid of Bob. No, we actually move towards a different view in life, and you live a certain kind of life. And this morning, as we end, I want to talk about if you're going to build a home, not a house, then you have to be careful about the walls that you create in it. And this is kind of a big idea, so I want you to stay with me. How many of you have ever encountered wallpaper? Wallpaper. Anybody love wallpaper? Anybody just love just working with wallpaper? Anybody? There's no one out there. Why do they keep selling this stuff? Why is it? They still do. I think the first machine was created in the 1970s. The 1700s. Yeah. And they kept on making them. And I know why, because they're so cool looking. Let me show you two. For example, this one right here. This is one wall, like this wallpaper right here. This is the coolest thing. You couldn't paint that on a wall. And some of you guys are like, no, that's the moon, this is the sky. No, it's the stars. No, it's a wallpaper. It's so awesome. There's another one I've got over here. This, I think, was one of my favorites. Look at that. That's amazing, right? Like, no one wants to work with wallpaper, but we love walls that have wallpaper. You do. Have you ever walked into a bathroom? You've walked into a bathroom, and you've thought, oh, this is an amazing bathroom. I could live here. And then you compare yourself to the other bathrooms, like your bathroom. And I'm guarantee you that the bathroom you walked into had really pretty or pretty cool wallpaper all around it. Why am I talking about wallpaper? Why is it even important? Because I believe that sometimes, not knowing, we live our lives in such a way that we begin to live them raising up or building up walls. They're very pretty walls. They have a lot of pretty wallpaper on them, but they're actually, in fact, walls. And when you build walls, you might need walls, obviously, for a house, but a home requires something else. And what I want to propose to you, a home requires paper walls. Now, this big idea here actually stems from this architecture. It's Japanese, and it's called the Shoji architecture, where the walls are actually paper. They slide back and forth. The idea behind this thought is, and the theory when they create houses like that, is not just efficiency, but this openness and airiness, this idea of like there is a transparency and a vulnerability and a simplicity in life. So Japanese houses have these walls that are made out of paper. And so what's really profound about these walls is that it's not something you and I are used to, right? We're used to like serious walls in houses. Why? Because we like our space. How many of you growing up had your own room? Anybody? Anybody had their own room? Their own room. How many never had their own room? A few. Awesome. You have never, ever, ever had your own room. Nice. You, sir. It's awesome. Love you, bro. It's awesome. You and me. Metro, I don't know if you, I can't see you, so I don't know if you did, but there's one guy here. I like him. I didn't grow up with having my own space. I didn't grow up with ever having my own room. In fact, I mean, I basically got married, and I never in my life have had my own room. I've never had my own room. My garage, my bathroom is my room. No, that's not even my bathroom. It's not even my bathroom. It's our bathroom. I haven't had my own anything. Now that I think about it. I have like two cats. I don't even like cats. You guys want a cat? No? Metro? No? I've never. I think there's something to that. This idea of like having your own space that's so secure creates a mindset that says, if you have four walls around you, you're secure. If you have four solid, if you have your own space, you're good. You're enough. You are in a healthy place in life. It's really fascinating if you start thinking of the psychology behind those. Because I think so many of us, especially in the Western culture, you live your life creating walls around you. And it's normal because you grew up with them. You had your own walls. It was called your room. You covered them up. You made them pretty. And other people could look into them or look on them, and they were pretty, but they were your walls, and you were safe inside. What's interesting about them, that though, is they create safety, of course, but it also leaves a lot of things out. And I think for some of us, as we live our life, as we create the life we want, as we start all over again, I just want to ask you, could it be possible that you're actually building very pretty walls with a lot of pretty wallpaper, but you actually need to build walls with paper? That you need to build walls that actually have vulnerability and translucency. And there's a point that there is a sense of privacy, but there's also a sense of vulnerability in the life that you're building. And so when you think of your families and your friends and your dating relationships, are you built in your life, are you building a wall, walls that no one can get through? Because, but they're pretty, they look great, but no one can get through, and sometimes God even can't get through. Are you building a wall? Are you teaching your kids? Are you showing your friends that you can actually build a home creating paper walls? Because paper walls say, hey, I need some privacy, but I'm transparent. I need some privacy, and I have some boundaries, but guess what? I'm open and honest and available for you. Would you think that as a society that we are living a life and creating a culture, creating a community that says, hey, this is my space and no one, I control this because I want to feel safe. And it makes sense because one of the biggest values, I think, in the Western world, and especially in the U.S., is this idea of safety. We just want to be safe. And in the midst of pursuing safety, we've basically been exclusive. We've said, you know what? I don't want anybody. I want to control what comes in. And this is my domain here. And it doesn't matter if I'm being irrelevant or I'm losing it and the life is passing me by and God even can't get through. At least I know that I'm okay. And the problem is that that the safety so quickly becomes a sense of fear because you're trying to control, you're trying to hold on to something. And the problem with fear is it doesn't just change. I mean, it affects not just. It changes you. Fear changes nothing else but you. And sometimes the walls that we create and the lives we live in those walls actually change us and don't allow us to become the people we were meant to be. So this morning, the big idea is this: are you going to have a life? Are you going to build a house with solid brick walls that look pretty? Are you a person that has walls up that look so pretty? Or will you be courageous enough to build a home, a space around you, a culture around you, your organization, your family, your friends, that the walls are actually, they're paper walls. They're paper walls that allow a sense of freeness and vulnerability and intimacy that maybe you're not even comfortable with. And this concept is so important. It's so important because I think there comes a point where God wants to say something to you and it seems so out there that if you have walls, you just shut the door and you go, I'm not listening to you. So if you remember, we were in Jeremiah 29. So if you've got your Bibles, you can go there. We're going to actually look at verses 15 to 20. And this is part of the passage that really, I've never really heard anybody talk about this unless you're in a seminary class, because this is like the non-cool stuff, and this is the stuff that no one wants to tweet out. You know what I'm saying? There's no t-shirts made of this. You're never going to see it on Instagram. It's not. It's those verses you're like, let's not even talk about those. Okay? But it ends with this idea of like last week. It ends with where God says, hey, I know the plans I have for you. You remember that verse? Plans to give you what? A hope and a what? Future, right? Yeah, I mean, just great stuff. And so verse 15, this is what he continues to write. He says, if you claim that the Lord has raised up prophets for you in Babylon, but this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all those who are still living there in Jerusalem, your relatives who were not exiled to Babylon. Now, God is like kind of gearing up to say something even more. Now, he's already promised them, I got a plan for you. I got a hope for you. Okay, I'm going to bring you back. But he says, but if you claim you still have prophets, basically he's saying, if you're still listening to them, if you're not listening to me, I'm telling you, this is the deal. Verse 17, this is what the Lord, the heaven's army says. I will send war, famine, and what? Disease upon them and make them like bad figs, too rotten to eat. That's a cool shirt, right? Bad fig, too rotten to eat. Like what? Okay, that's why no one talks about this, right? No one talks about this. Yes, I will pursue them with what? War, famine, and again, why do we have to bring up this stuff? Disease. And I will scatter them around the world in every nation where I send them. I will make them an object of what? Say it. You can say it. They're like, it says damn. I don't know if I can say damn. Church. Can we say damn? I don't know. Who said it? Damnation. And what? Horror, contempt, and mockery. For they refuse to listen to me, though I have spoken to them repeatedly through the prophets I sent. And you are in exile, and you who are in exile don't listen either. The Lord says, therefore listen to this message from the Lord, all you captives here in Babylon. Now let's just stop right there. What does this have to do with anything that we're talking about? It has to do profoundly with the life that we are living and the relationship that we have and the spiritual with God and the journey we're on with Him. Because at some point in your life, in our lives, as we walk through and figure out what we actually believe as adults, so many here at Mosaic and even in Metro, I've talked to so many people who found an adult faith here at Mosaic. So you grew up with a particular kind of faith, and then you said, I don't really believe all of this. And then you begin to discover yourself. You begin to journey yourself, and you're here in a place like this. I mean, Mosaic really is a place where a lot of people rediscover their faith or are just comfortable being here and not believing what I believe. I mean, there are atheists here. There are people who believe in multiple religions. There are people who just don't believe at all. Some here just look for a date. I don't know. But you're here. But you're discovering something, and I love that we're on this journey together. And regardless of where we are, but you need to know that at some point you're going to actually hit a wall. Like you're going to move forward as in your spiritual journey, and then you're going to literally hit a wall that either you've created or life has created for you. For some of us, life has done that. We have walls up because we have history. We have history with something bad that's happened to us. Others of us, this is what we've been taught. This is how you live. But that concept begins to even bleed into our spiritual life, where we begin to put up walls spiritually as well. I mean, I'm going to show you a diagram. I call it the wall. This diagram actually is from a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Rosero. And if you can put the screen, the graphic up of the wall, this is, he explains it this way, the stages of like this awareness of God, that we move from that to a discipleship, that we begin to learn. Stage three, we begin to actually live an active life and we're serving. And then you what? You hit a what? You hit a what? Say it loud and proud. Hit a what?
Wall.
You hit a wall, and the projection gets shut off, just like that. And then we're back. Then we're back. Right. And so you hit this wall, and then some of us don't move forward. Again, we hit a wall. And we're back. That's really your spiritual life, isn't it? The weekends, you're off. You're back on Monday. That's what it is. But see, in all seriousness, this is kind of the stages. And some of us never get to being transformed into love. And for so many of us, you can take it down. For so many of us, what we think is that we need to just try harder. I want to say, could it be possible that you have walls up and you didn't even know they existed? Could it be possible? Here's a couple of passages of scripture that might help you. And you might go, okay, this, do I live this? Do I even believe this? And is it even okay with me? So I listed just a few from Proverbs. And the first one is Proverbs 27. It says, the slap of a friend can be trusted to help you, but the kisses of an enemy are nothing but lies. You like that? I picked the particular translation because I just like that whole idea of like a slap from a friend. We've seen this in movies, right? Like, get it together. Right? We love the idea. But could it be true? Are you a person that's okay from getting a slap from a friend? Other translations say a wound from a friend. Some translations say a correction. Are you open to that? You see, if you're not open to a slap, if you're not open to correction, if you're not open to feeling to someone you trust making you feel really bad for just a little bit of time, I'm not talking about shaming you. I'm talking about really correcting you and going, See, for so many of us, we'd rather spend our time kissing enemies. Because it's okay. We would rather have flattery than people go, hey, that is sin. Hey, that was very, I don't even know what the word, I have so many words, but I can't use them at church. That's really not cool. You can't do that. That was a terrible thing. You can't say that. You can't talk to her like that. You can't do this to him. That's not right. If you're not open to that, friends, we have walls up. Proverbs 19, there's another one. It says, people ruin their lives by their own stupidity. Can I get an amen? Some of you guys wanted to do that, right? I know you did, Metro. Yeah, yes. Let me do that again. Let me finish the thought here. It says, so why does God always get what? Blamed. Some of you guys are like, what? What? Yeah, you're it. Yeah. God, why are you doing this? He's like, I didn't do this. It's like, oh, God, if you just love me, I love you, stupid. I love you. You're acting like a dummy. I mean, I don't know you can't pray dumb away. Like, you can't do, like, what? I don't know what to do. You are doing this to yourself. See, if you've never heard that, and if that offends you, if you're like, oh, don't call me that because I don't want to, if that offends you, friend, you are living behind a wall. No one can get in. You feel very secure and they're very pretty walls, by the way. But no one can get in. And you live in your folly. Now, Proverbs 19:20 says this, take good counsel and accept correction. That's the way to live wisely and well. That's the way to live wisely and well. Problem is, I think we want to live imaginary lives. That's the problem. We want to live these pretty walls, within pretty walls, and we want people to know our lives are just so pretty and so put together. We love the idea of it, right? And that's why we have so many imaginary friends. In fact, so many of us live imaginary lives. And what I mean by that is that the rise of social media, the rise of having an image up there and saying, this is my life. Hey, this is what I'm doing Friday night. This is what I'm doing Thursday. This is what I'm having for lunch. No one wants to know what you're having for lunch. Anyways, This is the coffee I drink. Oh my gosh. Oh my this, my this. Okay. And we all get into it. I get into it. We all get into it. We love this. Okay. We're not going to put a picture of just woke up. Oh my gosh. No, you're not taking a picture of that. No, you're not. Forget it. Right. Even if you did just woke up, it's like, you look like that when you wake up? Really? Why is your hair blowing in the wind? Like why is there wind in your bedroom? Like what's going on? Like, we have these images up, and the reason is because we want to portray an image. We have a brand. Like, I have a guy who's a clothier. He's in the fashion, and he lives in New York, and he's like into bespoke, which means like he's fancy men's suits, and so I follow. I'm a good friend of him, when he posts stuff, he's always very serious. He always has a cigar. He looks like very cool. And so then I started making fun of his posts, you know? I'm like, dude, why are you so serious? What happened? Did someone kick you in the face? Like, what's wrong? Because his face expressions are so like, I'm like, dude, come on. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. You don't look like that. Like, what's going on here? And I realized I stopped bugging him because, you know, he was like, he would comment, and it's his image. And he understands that because that's his work, that's his business, that's not his life. And for so many of us, we just want to live lives that are just imaginary because we're okay. We're okay, honestly, with people not correcting us. We don't mind being foolish if we're surrounded by pretty walls, but we don't want paper walls, because in paper walls, people can kind of look at basically what you're doing. And people can see right through them and definitely hear you. They can see what you have a little bit of privacy, but not a whole lot. That's why no one would want an actual house like this, right? Right, because you're like, oh my gosh, the conversations, the things we do, no, not happening. And that basically expresses a certain kind of lifestyle. But if we begin to live like this spiritually as well, then God can't even do anything. But if you live like this, behind paper walls, then God can actually get through. And we have our own space. Of course, we need our own space. Psychologically, we need to. But we have to also be vulnerable, and we have to have an intimacy with people around us. And you can't really do that if you have walls set up in your life, and they're so pretty. And the problem is that we don't like the idea of people not seeing us at our best, and we just want to put the best. And people don't want you to see you the best. They want the most real person. I mean, they want who you truly are. And I was talking to a person the other day, and she's like, I know what I'm not. I'm at a point in my life. I know what I'm not. And she was saying, she said, my trouble is, my anxiety is, I don't know who I am. Like, I know what I'm not, but I don't know who I am. And it can be scary. I'm going through a book right now, of the life of Vincent Van Gogh, and the writer Ivan Stone, he writes about Vincent at one point, and he says that Vincent was always in a state of becoming, never ever in a state of being arrived or have arrived. And he was always constantly in a state of becoming, which caused a lot of anxiety with the people around him, because he was always becoming someone, never settled. And I get that. I understand Vincent's life, and if you know anything about Vincent Van Gogh and the demons he struggled with. But there is some truth to it, isn't there? See, in the Christian life, we are always in a state of becoming, not having ever arrived. And so many of us are not comfortable with that thought, that you're in a state of becoming, and you haven't arrived. But what we want to do is we want to say, we have arrived, we've put walls up, and they look really pretty. Come on in. Not you, you. Could it be possible that you don't know who you are? I mean, I get that God loves us. I get the fundamentals of like what God has done in our lives. And if you know, and if you haven't heard, God has adopted us. God has called us his own. You're loved by him. And you're good. He loves you just like you are. The biggest gift that you could give God is you. Just you, not what you do and what you learn to do, just you. And the biggest gift that we can give the world around us is to become who we are and to live out of who we are. Problem is, we don't know who we are. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to always be in a state of becoming, not having arrived. There's freedom there. In fact, there is a flow there that only exists when you're a part of what God is doing in your life. You see, we think of, I'm this guy, and now I am this. Yeah, well, when you're this, you're done. And God's done. And God's not done with you. God's not done with you. So there's always a state of becoming. Yeah, I know what I'd like to be. Okay, good. I know where what I don't want to be. Good. That's good. That's good. I think I know who I am now. In this season, you know who you are. Let's put 40 years on you. You're going to be a little different. That's good. What you don't want to be is the same person. Have you ever met someone you're like, you're still that guy from high school? Sad. Right? You're like, what are you doing? Have you noticed that the people don't go through time at the same time? Have you realized that? Like, we know this in culture, right? We know that countries don't go through time the same time. Like, you could go back, you could go to a country, and then you're like, wow, the fashion here is like 1990. And then you come here, and then you go to, like, I don't know, maybe Europe or something, and you're like, I feel like I'm in the future. Maybe Japan, right? You go, I'm in the future. Because people don't go through time at the same time. People don't go through history at the same time. We don't, as individuals, don't go the same time as well. It's connected to how we allow God to move us and change us. And it's connected to, are we building houses with walls? Pretty walls, but they're walls. Exclusive, you can't get in. You can't, no, I control who gets in. Or are you building a home with paper walls? See, that's the big difference in church life too. In churches, sometimes people build a house of God. Churches are called the what? House of God. There are denominations like that. House of God. People go, that is the house of God. You will not bring that in the house of God. They don't know that God can't fit in this place. But anywho. House of God. And the house of God requires to have walls up. You're allowed and you're not. You don't believe what we believe and you need to put some more clothes on. Like, come on in. Or, I don't know about you, I don't know about you, I don't know about you. And at Mosaic, we're not trying to build a house of God. We're not. You're like, what? We're not. God does not need another building. What we are trying to do is create a home for humanity. And a home for humanity requires that we build with paper walls, that we have leaders and volunteers and people and community and pastors and directors that are vulnerable and they're approachable and there's a sense of privacy, but there's a sense of intimacy and there's a sense of we're in this together. We have to have structure, but we have paper walls. Why? Because it's a home for humanity. See, this is a community, and a community is not a house of God. It's a home for humanity. That's what we're trying to do, because we know that if we build a house of God, and please don't take it out of context, okay? If you walked into Metro and you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Relax, calm down, sit down. You're good. Usher, get him a drink or something. I mean, like a water. Not a... Communion's not spiked either way. So anyways, it's not, sorry. I know people get freaked out about this, but I want you to understand there's a big difference. Big difference. And that requires us to live a very different kind of life. Let me read you a couple of passages that help me. These passages really allow me to understand what, for some reason, friends, I have got, talk about vulnerability. All right, so let me read you James chapter 5. It says this, it says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Man, that is so hard to do. It is impossible to do when you have walls up, solid walls, but pretty walls. It's very hard to live in a community, to make it a practice where you actually live a life that you are vulnerable to the people you live with. It is very hard to live a life, and it's very hard to live together with solid walls. It says here, my dear friends, if you know people who have wandered away from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Like, though the writer here is talking about live in such a community when people go off, when they do certain things, you go after them. You begin to pursue their lives. If we don't live lives with paper walls, no one is even going to give us permission to go after them. Who in your life do you need to go to and go, I want to live this kind of life? The way we do this at Mosaic, the way we cater to this, is this idea of getting into groups, like small groups. You've heard small groups in different churches, and they do small groups. These are Bible studies. They're basically groups that meet in homes, and people either, you know, maybe 6 to 10, maybe there's a larger group. They come together. They get out of these rows, and they get into circles. They get around tables. They get around the living room table, or they get around, you know, the den or the kitchen table. They just meet in homes, and the walls, the brick walls come down, and paper walls come up, in a sense where people are going, okay, I need my privacy, but yet I want to share some things with you. That's how we cater to. That's practically how we provide people to continue to build your life, or, you know, having a sense of I'm on a journey. I don't know who I am, but I'm in this together. I want to build a home. And so, if you've never been a part of a small group, man, you should try this semester. We're actually going to do, not next week, but the week after, starting a brand new conversation called Relational Intelligence. And we're asking all of you to join some kind of a group, like, or create your own group. Start a lunch group if you have to. Do whatever you want to do, but create a space where you can just gather around friends and begin talking about these topics that we're going to talk about. Boundaries and conflict and forgiveness. In fact, we're going to have small groups going on throughout the week, but on Wednesdays, excuse me, we're going to have table groups here, and Pastor Brandon is going to be leading those. So if you're like thinking, I don't know if I want to go to someone's house, well, in table groups, you just come here, and we'll have a table facilitator for you, and people will sit around in a circle and a table, and begin having conversations, breaking down their faith. It is the most practical way for us to move towards building a hope for building a home for humanity, building a place where we actually begin to live our lives with paper walls, creating those. So, if you've never been a part of small groups, I would highly recommend. We're going to have a menu for you, all the groups that will be available next week, and we would love for you to be a part of this. If you've been in a small group, it's good. It's one of the most exciting times for us, because in the fall, We're going to journey together. It's about a seven-week thing. And so if you go for 7 weeks and you're like, you know what, I'm good right now. I don't know if my schedule allows it after that. That's all right. That's fine. But you join a group for about 7 weeks. This is our practical way to do it. Besides me saying, hey, go for it, do it. But I'll leave you with this question. What would keep you? What would keep you right now from tearing down a wall that you know you need to tear down? What will keep you from that? What is keeping you from that? What is it? You know, people say that perspective is really a function of experience. And for some of you, you don't have God's perspective, not because you're a terrible person, it's just because you've never allowed yourself to experience something. Others of you, you don't have a hopeful perspective because you've never allowed yourself to experience what hope looks like in a community. So I just wanted to ask you, before I pray for you, what would keep you, what is keeping you from that? And what would your life look like if you go, you know what, I want to move from this idea of having pretty walls to paper walls. What does it look like for you? What does it look like for your home? I think it requires courage. I think it's going to require vulnerability, intimacy. I think it's going to require a lot of conversations. But friends, it is worth it. Before I pray for you and we end this conversation called home, I want to make sure you know that this big idea of home, this feeling that you get of like, when I say home, you're like, oh, this feels like home. I love it. This idea, this feeling, this emotion takes so much effort. And people here have gone out of their comfort zone, taken down walls, and created paper walls. They've moved from being just exclusive to inclusive. All of what you're experiencing is extremely intentional, and the life God's calling you to live is extremely intentional as well. Hey, let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who loves us, and you're a God who moves us forward, and you're the God who's calling us to live, God, the life that you have in mind, but we don't know it. And God, we're saying right now that we are uncomfortable with the state of always becoming, because we'd love to be settled. But maybe today it's all about who we are not. We are not those people you've forgotten about. We are not people you've despised. We are not people you've rejected. We are not people that you do not love. We are not of those who even shrink back. God, we are not of those. We know what we're not. God, we're not going to go backwards in life. We're not going to keep on continuing to live that life. We're not. Today, we're saying we're just not going to be this. We don't know what we're going to be, and we're okay with that. But we move forward. God, I pray that as we, as a community, move towards building a home for humanity, a home for us, that we would be courageous enough to have the conversations that we need to have, to look inside of us, and to do the things we know we should do and must do to move forward. God, I pray we never live lives so secure in our four pretty walls that we cannot hear you. We do not know you. And that God, you are, in one sense, screaming out and you're warning us of destruction that's going to happen, but yet we cannot hear you. God, let us not be like the people in that passage who just refuse to hear or are unable to hear the warnings. God, let us live lives that we can hear you and we can respond to you. Let us live courageous lives, Lord God, I pray. God, I pray as we receive communion and go to the cross, as we light a candle, it will be done out of a sense of an intimacy and vulnerability that we've never experienced before. I pray. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.